tonight. I don't want to keep you guys too late tonight. Either. So, yeah, as you know, couldn't make it, so I'll go ahead and, unless anybody objects, I'll go ahead and walk us through the agenda tonight. So first up, we have, we'll just go ahead and do roll call. So, Aaron?
Aaron Bress from the Port of Newport.
Loretta Smith.
Paul Valentine.
Jeremy Arnold.
Derek Tokos.
Anastasia Guevara.
Bill Brannigan. Robert Eman, City Council.
And we have Jim Klein here, as a member of the public.
Gary Ripka.
Thanks. Okay, next up we have approval of the minutes from the November 15th, 2023 Parking Advisory Committee meeting.
Now, there was nothing to review on the video piece because it's video, but a little brief write-up looked okay to me, so I would recommend we go ahead and approve the minutes.
I'll second.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, minutes been adopted. All right, first item on the agenda is an update on Bayfront paid permit parking rollout. I'd like to talk to you briefly about outreach to affected stakeholders. We do have proofs for the text to park signs that Trustee Vetter had a chance to take a look at. We need to get back to the vendor on that tomorrow with any edits so that they can go ahead and get those changes done and those signs ordered so that we can kind of meet our objectives. Then I have the patron portal demo set up for you guys to take a look at online here, so you can kind of see how the e-permitting interface would work on the city website and how the fleet piece would work as well. And then license plate recognition. I put this on here for Don to have a chance to kind of provide an update on where we're at. And I learned we've got some equipment issues that he can share with you that we will get resolved, but it sounds like it's gonna take a little bit of time. So with the Bayfront paper, the rollout, the city council's took its last action. It was on the fee resolution along with the, you know, time limits and all of that, which was rolled into that same resolution 4000. That is enclosed. The only change that they made was to they wanted parking removed from the loading signs. So they didn't make any changes to the resolution, but they did make some changes to that. So we went ahead and took the word parking off the loading signs, went ahead and got those ordered. So those are in production right now, so we should have those here shortly. The city's public works department will do the last of the installs. I believe I included a map in there that shows kind of what signs, you know, kind of what they're working off of in terms of where they're going to be installing signs. As you know, the pads for the pay stations had already been set, but the bolts had not been put in. But I understand that the contractor has since come in, put those in, and they're covered, and the template's set. So we are ready to put the pay stations in at any time. The pay stations have been tested. The last piece we had to do was make sure that they were working with the merchant accounts so that, you know, somebody tapped it with a credit card and made a payment, was actually working on each pay station and then getting to the merchant. And so that work has been done. Jason Malloy did that, I want to say about a week ago. And so we're in pretty good shape in terms of getting this going for, I mean, the plan is to get the pay stations in by the 19th. So they're up and operational for the weekend of January 20th. They'll be running weekends only from January through the end of April. And then the pay station shift over to a 7-day-a-week, 11 to 7. We're running a courtesy permit program, free e-permits that will run from January through April. And we'll be encouraging people to get those because they'll provide advance email notice to them of when the actual paid permits will be available. We'll make the paid permits available in the beginning of April, and you have to have a paid permit beginning May 1. So that's how we have it set up. Uh, the go live, we do have the, I included in your packet, photos of the security cameras. So we've got a camera set up, a network camera set up that we're gonna be setting up with each pay station having a security camera on it. That's what it looks like, the photos I gave you. Our IT folks have indicated that they do expect that the larger enclosure, equipment enclosure, might be able to reduce by about a third with a different product. And I told them to go ahead and go with that. We want those enclosures as small as possible. So those have been ordered. So what actually gets installed will be slightly smaller than what you saw in the pictures. They'll all be painted black, and they're all designed so that they can be painted. It's not gonna interfere with anything as long as we use the right paint. So I've got a little bit of work to do with the PUD, just getting the invoicing and all that set up. These will be directly wired into the light post. So this is one of those kind of non-metered accounts that PUD has. So they just kind of set it up and charge us based on the design, electric draw of each of those pieces of equipment. So they just calculate it out, and that's what we end up paying on a monthly basis. So you saw the final sign template was included in your packet. And then I'm going to want to talk to you a little bit about outreach. So I did include in your packet a draft letter of what we could send out to folks on the Bayfront. We're in the process of cleaning up an email list that we got from the port. The email list, basically Sherry's contacting folks on there where we have multiple contacts associated with a vessel to find out who the appropriate contact is for this purpose. We can trim it down a bit, because in some cases we'd have 3, 4 or more emails associated with a vessel, and we really only need one point of contact at this point for this. So trying to trim that down. And then what we'll do is we're going to kick out an email to the vessel owner saying, hey, look, this is coming. That we're going to be offering an electronic permit. That electronic permit can be obtained individually, and we'll put the address where that can be obtained and the date that that's available. Or they can elect to manage the permits for their employees. If they wish to do that, they need to contact Sherry, and we'll put her contact information in there.
When are you looking at the date for rolling out that?
See, that was the thing. I don't think we want to do that until after the 2nd of January, until our staff's back.
The 2nd of January?
Yeah, because if we send it out right now in the middle of the holidays, it's going to get lost in the shuffle. That's going to look my head to that with it. Further, Sherry's taking some time off, appropriately so, as am I and others. The city's going to be like minimal staff over the next week. So it's probably not the best time to be floating out anything that's going to cause folks quite a few calls to come in.
And that's
kind of where my head's at.
And that email, is it going to lay out the time frame when all this is going to?
Yep.
Okay.
It's going to include a lot of the language, and then and we can attach the FAQs to email too that we send out. The FAQ that has responses to some frequently asked questions. We can attach that as background to folks if they want it. We'll make that available on the city website. Because for fleet, Sherry actually has to set somebody up and then assign what permits go to them. For fleet, so when it goes out, I expect that we'll get calls from vessel owners or operators. And we're going to do this the same thing for business owners on the Bayfront, I want to be clear. But I'm just talking through the vessel owner side of it. So, when they contact Sherry, she'll get them set up, and then they'll get an email. And that email, I'll kind of go through it here, I guess, real quick. So I'm going to start sharing some stuff. So once they contact Sherry, she gets it set up and she creates.
No, this is just a question.
She she sets them up in Fleet, then she will, then when she's done setting them up, it'll automatically kick an email out to that individual. And this was a test where we set Sherry up as the manager of that particular fleet. So this would be, you know, whoever, you know, Gary, if you did this, it'd be going to you. Hi, Gary. Mm-hmm. You know, and when you go in to go manage Fleet, you would then be asked to set up an account. And then you would have the ability to go in there and assign, you know, permits to vehicles. And those in the commercial fishing will have one option right now, which is a free courtesy permit to go through in April that's set up for commercial fishing, which is a 96-hour duration. Businesses will get a free courtesy permit as well, but it's a different one. Sherry will be assigning that one to them, and that doesn't have the 96-hour duration. So that's a difference. Also, the business one is going to be operable in all of the parking zones. Commercial fishing is going to be just for zones B and D over by Port Dock 5 and where they would actually be parking. Again, people don't have to use this. We will include the information if they don't want to do Fleet and they want to just go and get their individual one. They can do that as well. So let's get out of that. So what we have So our IT will be adding in a button for parking patron portal. It's going to be added to the city main web page, and it's going to be added under quick links. So we'll put it in a few different spots. But when you go into that, what it will do is it'll take you to this location. Now if you're in Fleet, what you would do is you put your cursor, get that out of there. Up where it says login, which is behind the dang Zoom thing up there in the right corner.
Sorry.
But if you do that, then you'll have an option to sign in. And so if I sign in as Sherry with a test account, and she had set this up in response to the email.
I think you have to put my full email address.
Oh, yeah, sorry. S.Marino. Yeah. Let's try that. There you go. Okay, so she will have Manage Fleet as an option as well. Okay, so if an individual is just going in to get an e-permit and they don't have a Fleet account, they just see what you saw the first time, the option to either pay a ticket or purchase a permit. But because she's logged in with Fleet, she can go in and manage Fleet, which then gives her the option of going in and adding vehicles and assigning permits to those vehicles. I'm not going to go through that exercise here. It's relatively straightforward, and we'll be in a position to answer questions for folks if they run into issues assigning permits. So I'm gonna go ahead and back out of that. If you're just purchasing a permit, right now we only have the free courtesy permit available. It's the only permit option people can obtain, but they'll be able to obtain that. And they, in their case, I'm logged in as Sherry, but if I was not logged in, they'll be given the opportunity to set up an account or log in as a guest. Our advice would be to set up an account if they intend to get an actual paid permit, but they don't have to. And when this is set up, I have the courtesy permits set up to provide automatic notification that they expire 2 weeks prior to the end of April. So folks will get an email saying, hey, it's expiring, you need to go in and get your actual paid permit. I made the courtesy permits, like I said, these are operable in all of the parking zones. I didn't try to make a zone A courtesy permit, zone B courtesy permit, so on and so forth. Because this is a soft rollout, and we want to make it as straightforward as possible. But when they get to the paid permits, it's going to be a zone A, B, C, D with the different pricing. And those are all built. They don't show up because they're not available yet.
Okay.
This is also a portal for people to pay parking tickets. So that side of it's set up as well. But I'm not going to dive into that this time. So kind of apologize in advance, Sherry, for bouncing around on the agenda, but that was really kind of going over the first two items and the demo. So I went through items 4.1, 4.2, and 4.4. Any questions about that? Does it seem straightforward enough?
On the outreach, is there any other public comment that's come up during council meetings or anything else that there's other problems that we should probably be aware of or anything? Or?
Not problems per se. I suspect that we're going to get feedback, you know, as we go along. That you're going to hear. That's going to lead to some adjustments down the road. I think that's normal when you launch something like this. You're going to need to make adjustments to the program down the road.
Yeah.
My assumption is that getting that out right at the first of the year with the go-live on the 20th should be enough time for people to go in and get a free permit. It doesn't, you know, if they want one. Mm-hmm. And parking enforcement is going to do warnings, and we'll be working with Donald to try to get people into the system. The objective with the rollout right now for people that work down there is to, you know, if they're in a location where a permit is available, to make sure they're aware that that option is out there and have an opportunity to obtain the free permit for the time being. There are some areas that are going to be meter only on the West End and Bay Boulevard, and on the weekends, you know, folks will get warnings, and if they don't adhere to that, then they'll get tickets.
How long will the courtesy permits?
These courtesy permits are going to roll through the end of April.
Okay.
And you have to have a paid permit effective May 1st. And that coincides with the change from the off-season to the on-season with the meters. And so May 1st, they run 7 days a week, 11 to 7.
Okay.
We'll get the FAQs up. We can probably get some additional maps up that target specific things like free parking areas, here's where they are at, or you know, some specifics on the tier two versus the tier one, you know, for the tier two pricing, which is the lower pricing, here's where you can park for the tier one, and just try to break that up a little bit. My expectation on this is that once we actually have the regulatory signs up, it's gonna be pretty straightforward to somebody who's parking in a very specific stall what they need to do. I mean, there's a different discussion when you're looking at it macro scale across the whole program versus the discussion about, okay, I'm parking here, what are the regulations right here? Now, our public works folks will go ahead and paint in the tick marks for parallel parking for the regulated areas as well. So that'll be a clear distinction on the ground that in addition to the signs and the paint, that's where your time parking limitations start. Or your paid parking limitations start. So any other comments on the rollout? I will be contacting some of the larger employers to give them to make sure that they're aware of what's coming and to give them an opportunity to ask me some questions. So I'll be reaching out to Moe's, I'll be reaching out to Laura over at Local Ocean, I've already been in dialogue with both Pacific and Bornstein, but I'll continue to be in dialogue with them as well. So, Jim, you've been plugged into this, so I'll keep, you know, I'll touch base with you too as this moves forward. So, that's kind of some of your larger employers down there, and you know, we're always happy to answer questions.
Just a quick question.
Yeah.
Just curious. Employees, I understand, permit, blah blah blah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what about delivery? Okay, so like we have a delivery truck that services the pub.
Okay.
So how does that?
Well, they're parking in a loading zone. Where do they park when they do their deliveries?
If they go early enough in the morning, nobody parked in.
Well, one thing to keep in mind, and this is what I've been telling folks too, is that our parking enforcement is focusing on the regulated hours.
Right.
11 to 7.
Right.
So if you have deliveries down there at 5 in the morning or 6 in the morning,
yeah, well,
that's not, we're not going to worry about it because we don't have parking congestion issues at that time of the morning.
I understand that's a short term, but we do have delivery trucks like U.S. Foods, et cetera, that comes in.
Mm-hmm.
And they park in the street, basically.
Right. And those activities will continue. We get that. I mean, that's your typical loading activities, so that's fine.
Hey, Derek?
Yes.
The FAQs.
Yeah.
I get a lot of questions. I wouldn't say questions. I get a lot of comments saying, well, the reason that the city is doing this is to raise money. The city is, you know, this is all about getting money in. Do we need to put something in the FAQs that explains where we're going to place the revenue as it comes in?
I thought there was some language to that effect in the FAQ that we added that the funds would be.
Ryan Stahl, pay to park stations and charge for permits, the second paragraph. It says meter revenues will be used to fund parking enforcement, improve parking areas, and enhance overall access to the bayfront.
Right. That was a sentence we added. Did you catch that, Bill?
Yeah, my apologies.
No worries. And I did add in language addressing ADA that you'd asked for. That's further down. It's the third from the bottom. Will the parking limitations apply to disabled individuals? So
yeah, I caught that one.
Okay. So I'm going to go ahead then and bring up the proofs. Okay, you guys see those? So we have 50 of these that we've ordered as part of the original package. And they have QR codes associated with on each of the signs, and then the text, which is, I mean, so when it's text to, you know, pay here via your phone, you just text in Abbey Street, and then 25023, and you're off and running in terms of your payment. The Abbey Street signs would be placed proximate to the Abbey Street parking lot. Bay Street would be down on the far west end. They're associated with kind of the pay station general geographic area. That's for tracking purposes for us, so we know, so we can report out, you know, how the parking management system is being utilized across the bayfront. So
like on the boardwalk, you've got three of them. You've got east, west, and central.
Mm-hmm.
How many of those signs will be there? And How am I going to know when I'm standing there which one I'm supposed to do?
See, it doesn't really matter. Whichever one you, whatever you use, you will be okay from a parking regulatory perspective.
Just because the license plate goes in there.
Right. It's so you'll be fine. They're going to be placed proximate to those areas, the signs. So I went ahead and worked with the T2 folks to kind of tabulate the number of parking stalls that kind of go along with each as you move along. They're relative.
So
if you're close to a particular sign, you're going to use that sign. But if you happen to not, you know, I mean, I don't think you run into too many people that park in one location and then, you know, pay at a different area. They'll probably just use whatever sign's closest.
But then why even have all of this? Why not just have one sign? It just says Tex Newport parking.
The difference is this will allow us to see how heavily utilized it is in different geographic areas. That's all.
Okay. That makes sense.
So you track use.
So we can track utilization. And it's not going to be perfect, but it'll give us a pretty good sense of how they're being utilized in each area. You may occasionally have an outlier where somebody ended up parking in one spot but used the other sign. But if we get the signs placed right, that shouldn't happen too often.
Okay.
It's also, signage is always something that they always like to appeal. They try to appeal on the grounds that there's not enough signage. I was in an area I could not figure out where to pay. So the more distributed you have it, it's harder to overturn tickets. They hold up a little bit easier. Or maybe you'll have fewer appeals, hopefully. And you don't have to process as many.
The only one that they didn't get a QR code on. Yep, right here. That will be taken care of. There will be a QR code. They just missed it when they kicked the proofs over. So how do these look? They look okay to you guys, or?
I think so. Yeah.
What are you guys doing for signage?
We're at over in the Bayfront side or over in South Beach. Where we're actually
Bayfront
doing
side.
We've got those new big signs that we got, those fisherman parking signs, to try and more clearly point people to where the fisherman's parking is. And then we use our logo to try and make it, but it's hard because people don't understand the difference between the port and the city anyway.
Right.
But we're doing our best to make it clear that these are port parking areas. And this is a port parking permit area, so.
I did want to point out, there's on the signs too, there's that little bit of text.
You're popular right now.
For what's it, what part?
At the bottom down there that says to see other lots, text Newport.
You got a lot of calls on that.
25023, so if somebody was curious about other areas where they could park, they can do that.
The port pay park.
And there will be a map,
yeah,
which I've yet to see from a vendor, but there will be a map.
I think that's pretty good. So,
that's
if I'm a tourist,
yeah,
and I'm coming down to the Bayfront and I find a parking space and I get out and I have an ADA placard, how do I know? What tells me I don't have to pay?
You know, that's one where you're going to have to. Right now, it's just on the FAQ. I'm not sure for
FAQ,
ADA
exemption. Not going to do me any good as a tourist. I'm not going to have access to the FAQ. I'm just driving my car around. I find a place to park, and it's like, woo! And then I have an ADA, and it's like, oh, is the city going to allow me to park for free, or do I have to pay like everybody else?
Well, you know, part of that is, the state law, what is it? The state law was what, that wheelchair is exempt statewide?
Yeah. Anybody who has an ADA placard does not have to pay for parking.
Anywhere?
The statute was just for wheelchair, not for all of them, but we made it for all of them on our code. So, there's going to be some folks who know that by virtue of the fact that they got a placard and are aware of what the statutory rules are.
Is that, because I have a handicap daughter in a wheelchair.
Yeah, I can definitely tell you from being out there, most folks with the handicap placard know that they don't have to pay.
Okay.
Just because it's also.
And you don't have to pay if anywhere you park, or is it?
Anywhere you park. Doesn't matter if it's designated.
Okay. Because we have one. We didn't know
if
that.
If it's paid parking, then
had one for most, 15 years.
Yeah, most.
Sorry.
Had one for 15, well, longer now. Our daughter's 20,
yes.
20 years old now.
No signage. I have no.
Didn't know that.
I know here in Oregon.
That was our ignorance, but well, I didn't
was
know
it
that.
Morris?
Well, that's my wife. She might have known, but I didn't.
At 11.612, I think is the ORS that concerns handicap parking.
I always thought you had to be in the parking spot.
One, you don't have to pay.
So we'll have that in the FAQs, but keep in mind, too, Officer Valentine is not going to be issuing tickets to anybody with those placards. Yeah, you may have some folks with ADA placards who choose to pay, like everybody else is, but they're not required to. I'm not sure how else we inform them of that.
Each one of those ADA spots has a sign designated. Why don't you just make a little sign that says?
Well, because they're saying all parking spaces.
All parking.
All. I'm just talking about for put it on the ADA sign, right on the post.
What ADA sign?
The ones that are in front of all the
not
handicap
all the,
parking?
Not all the handicap spots have, like there's some like in the lot right next to Bayfront there.
No.
Those ones have them. And then the same thing with the parking lot right there for the Bayfront Market. But there's other handicap spots, like the upper parking behind Ripley's, where it just has, it's just the decal on the floor.
But that spot isn't accessible by
something
wheelchair.
Better than nothing.
Some of them are, some of them aren't.
I know that one's not.
Yeah.
My daughter worked at Ripley's and she couldn't use that one. The way it's set up.
Yeah.
Yeah. She can't use a wheelchair on that. Motorized or the ramp that lets her out. Yeah. Yeah. Kind of a useless one for a wheelchair.
Well, but he does have, I'm sorry, I don't know your name.
Jim.
Jim does have a point that where we do have an ADA sign, we could add the verbiage free parking.
Yeah. You get 50%
or
of the
you could even paint
whatever.
It by the handicap decal on the tarmac.
We'll ADA signage gets a little touchy in terms of what we put up, so I'll jot down as a note. We can follow up with you guys on it. We'll look into it.
It just ensures that Newport's still the friendliest.
Yeah.
Well, I think we should have some kind of additional signage on the Bayfront so people do know those spots.
Well, you'll have
we're rolling out several hundred signs right now. I mean, it's going to be a lot of signage. So that's the one thing I think we want to be sensitive to is just how much we're putting out there.
Right.
It's a bunch.
Yeah. I wish we would have caught this earlier. We could have maybe added it to a
I'm not sure. I'm trying to even think of a jurisdiction that does that, though. I think you just get familiar with, certainly if you're an employee or somebody is on the Bayfront on a regular basis and you're disabled, you're going to get familiar with that pretty quickly. I think it's more of the tourist who's or somebody who's passing through who's less familiar with that.
Well, could we not just put, like, in small print, the logo says park for free? Have these signs actually been ordered?
No. These are text-to-park signs. You're talking about...
Yeah, because I have an ADA. I've parked in my ADA spot. I get out of my car. I go over to the sign to see this. And... before I even scan it, I look down and it says ADA equals free. It's like, oh, okay, I don't have to worry about it. Get back and go get my crippled husband. And
well, I think that's a good idea, actually. And then it also might alleviate even people get that your ADA in any spots free.
What was our decision on veteran parking? I can't remember.
They have to pay like anybody else. The only exemption in there has to do with disabilities.
Okay.
And I think obviously the rationale there is they're not subject to time limits because it would be difficult for them to because of their disability. Anybody who's not disabled, I mean, our objective is to get better vehicle turnover. We don't want to exempt everybody or we're not going to achieve our objective.
I just can't remember the decision.
No, that's fair.
I suppose we had a little bit, I guess I think we had a little bit better signage on the spots that aren't ADA, that we, if you do have a placard, that you are free, you know?
Yeah, I got that written down on the ADA spots, whether or not we can add a few signs to that effect or.
Thank you.
The other one is maybe we might be able to add some to the pay stations. Some pay station text when they're going in, something that flashes up or something to that effect. Let's see what we can do.
Anything that's at wherever they're paying or finding out how to pay would be a great way to catch all of them.
Yeah. Right. Nope, we can do that, absolutely.
It'd be really simple, just a little logo equal at the equal sign and then free. That just tells you everything you need to know right there.
Maybe be a sticker.
Yeah.
Well, we're gonna have 50 of these signs up, so if it's on one of these signs, it's gonna be well signed out there. But the pay station screens would be another way to catch it. Because they're going to be using one of the two options, so. We could even also talk to, if they have an issue with putting them on the signs, if we get it worked into the text to park language, if they start going down that path, it flashes up. So if they put in the codes, bang.
Yep. That is another way. Good idea.
Any other thoughts on these? Text to park signs? Okay. All right, we'll go ahead and get these wrapped up and get them ordered, along with the decals. They're going to be going on the I can talk to him about the decals too. Not sure how best to address that on the pay stations. I kind of feel like it's almost better than the electronic screen and try to stick it on a decal on the side.
Or if they do the scan thing, would it be possible to have like a simple question? Like, have a valid handicap permit when you're doing that?
That's the point. Try to catch it through the communication screens before they get to a point where they're entering a credit card or making a payment.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So like when they do that, if they say yes, they have a handicap placard or they have a handicap permit, whatever the case may be,
yeah,
they still input their vehicle information and then say, okay, cool, you're good to go. Boop, done. Instead of then going forward to the next step of collecting payment information, because then if someone decides, oh,
yeah,
they want to try and cheat this,
we'd
they
wanna,
still don't know.
Yeah.
I'll know about it when I ride by, because then if they do that, then that's talking to the car. So when the LPRs read it, then the LPRs can tell me, oh, this person has a handicap placard or this person is free, and then I can double check that as well.
You should be able to see these, though, as you go along, right?
Most of the time, yes.
Okay.
Most of the time, yes. Most handicap placard users have it hanging from their rearview mirror. Other folks have it just on the dashboard, or they have it in a special little suction cup stuck to the window. But I guess my point being on that is, if we just make a little question, hey, do you have a handicap placard? Yes. Okay, cool. You still collect their vehicle information, just like their plates and whatnot. Mm-hmm. So that way, that then talks to the car in the LPR system. So then when I drive by, I can see that pop up on the LPR screen of, this person has a handicap placard. And then if I see that, I go, oh, cool, they have one. I don't have to worry about them. Or if they don't have one and they're just trying to cheat the system, oh, cool, they try to cheat the system. You know, instead of having to redo signs or anything like that, like I think just doing a simple little question from the text to pay or anything like that would be easier than trying to redo the entire signs.
We'll see what we can do. Okay, what else do we have on the agenda? So does the schedule seem reasonable to you guys? So we're about ready to go with all of this stuff. If we start putting this out via email and letter at the beginning of January, with January 20th being when the pay stations go up and become operational, that's 2.5 weeks for folks to engage. But it's post-holiday, so
yeah,
should get past that. How's that line up with where the commercial fishing community is going to be at, Gary?
Well, we got a crab opening right now. We got another one starting on the 1st of January.
Mm-hmm.
So January's going to be a pretty busy month.
So people will be... I had a conversation with a commercial fishing users group. There's never a good time to launch this.
January's going to be... Because half our fleet went on this first opening.
Yeah.
And, you know, Newport got split in half this year.
Okay.
And which is... Anyway, so we're going to have a... split opening, so the other half is going fishing now.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to have, you have some out of town guys here now in January and February too,
mm-hmm.
which this might be confusing to them.
Mm-hmm.
So, but you're really going to have through the month of January of pretty much the courtesy thing. You're not paying anything, from what I understand, through January, right?
It'll be a great time to get feedback.
But principally, it's just trying to get people in, so when we get this out, you know, that they're communicating with us. They're either going in and getting their free permit,
mm-hmm.
or they're saying, hey, we want to set up a fleet account, and they're contacting Sherry so she can do that, which then gets them an email so they can get their free permit that way.
And the worst that would happen if they don't is that they'll get a warning.
Right.
And told, yeah,
and then they'll get directed is more specifically.
Yeah. Enforcement will be a warning if they hadn't done that.
How long did the warning period last? I missed that earlier.
We had talked about running that about a month.
A month? Till yeah. February?
Yeah, for the,
yeah, something
for
like
the
that.
Paid parking, permit parking thing.
And the free permits will be available till the end of April. That's how we've been, this courtesy rollout's going to work. And so, and then the paid permits will be made available the beginning of April and then would be effective May 1st.
Oh.
Right, so what I'd imagine we'll run into is the most, you know, what we would probably hear is if they get a warning and we tell them, hey, all you got to do for now is go into the system and enroll.
Mm.
You don't have to pay anything. We'll probably immediately get the question, why do I have to do that? Why do I have to do anything? And that's, we'll just explain that, you know, that's the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a practice.
Yeah.
And then when the pay stations are running on the weekends, you know, we are going to have some people paying. That's what they're there for, and to get better turnover. And so we'll start to get a little bit of that going, and that'll give us a chance to make sure that's all operating appropriately as well. Okay, what's left on the agenda? So I think the last thing we had on the agenda, really, Donald, was the license plate recognition LPR update. Do you want to go ahead and share with the group kind of what's up at this point?
So at this point, the LPRs are in the car, and they work spot on. 99% of everything gets read. And then, like Derek said earlier, we're having some vehicle issues right now that we're trying to determine if it's because of the LPRs. That whole system going in, or if it's just coincidental at this point. We're just waiting on outside resources to get back to us. But as for that, the LPRs for time parking and reading and all that stuff is...
Yeah, they're running into an issue with the electrical system in the car, so they're trying to figure out, well, was this caused by the install of the LPR, or is it just an issue that came up in the vehicle?
Has T2 had that problem before with other...
We talked about them briefly today. They said they had had run into it at one time, but it was with an EV.
All-electric vehicle.
Yeah, all-electric vehicle, where they ran into an issue.
Oh, they had a problem with electric vehicle?
Yeah.
This working?
I don't know if just with the enforcement car.
Oh, it's just the enforcement car. We're just talking about the enforcement car.
Yeah, it's just the car's overheating right now. So we're not sure if it's because of how the install was done.
What's the car doing?
It's overheating.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, so, and reason being, from a quick phone call today with the installer that I had, is he had a diagram saying one thing, yet my fuse layout from the owner's manual on the car said a completely different thing. So there's a possibility there. But also a possibility that this is just completely coincidental and the car is just deciding to be temperamental. No idea.
Who made that car? What's the manufacturer?
Ford.
Should have got a Tesla.
So it's in with the dealership, right? You guys get it over? Not yet.
No, we haven't heard back from yet. Okay. We got it into the mechanic here in town, and he did all his preliminary testing and everything on it. He's like, yeah, at this point, it's to do with the computer of the car itself, with the ECU. It's okay. Not talking to the cooling fans. It's not talking to the sensors as it should be, and that's when he brought it up of how this was installed. He's questioning some of the things that were done.
I see.
And so now it needs to go to Wilson Ford and Corvallis. That way they can do more in depth. And if the computer needs to get reprogrammed to tell it what to do, then we'll cross that bridge when we get there. But that's where we are with it. But aside from that, the LPRs work great. The computer, everything's working great.
That's all correctable stuff. It's just they're going to have to diagnose it and figure it out. It may be that the Genentech person has to come back out and do some adjustments to how they set it up, but it'll get dealt with. And the handheld's working okay for you?
We haven't. I mean, from testing, yes. We're not live with the handheld yet out in the field, but that's working as it should.
So our next meeting will be the 18th of January, which would be right before go-by time.
Okay.
So it's probably good timing.
The 18th?
I think it's right. Or am I in the wrong year? I'm trying to get to the right January. Oh, sorry. That was the 23rd.
I have 17th of January.
Yeah, sorry. I was looking at 2023.
Okay.
Still, January 7th. Still, no, a couple days before go-live. So,
we'll follow like that. We'll see how much crab fishing. I want you weren't fishing.
So that was the last item we had on the agenda.
When does the next 3-year term start? We all got letters. I'm not sure what all that. Did we get approved by the council?
Yeah,
or
yeah.
Do we have to be approved by the council?
We just had to say yes.
We just need confirmation, right? Yeah, no, and. Anybody who needed to be re-upped, that will be taken care of, I believe, at the first council meeting of the year.
Very, very competitive. Yeah.
I have a question.
Some really high.
Since you're going to do the stripe base for the parking lots, et cetera,
both my boats will be there.
Is it possible to have compact cars?
I don't think there's that many crabs.
Because the.
So it's going
to
be
trying to
get as much as
see
you can
over a big monster truck. It's really difficult, especially
Jordan, I don't know how
if you turn in right or left.
No.
Either way, the corners, I mean, the intersection.
Yeah.
Usually, the car park, the first car park.
Which
to your right,
are you talking about a specific parking lot, or are you talking about a general?
In general, it's difficult to make a right turn when a monster truck is parked on the right, for example. It's difficult to see, or the left. So I'm thinking also that could happen in the new parking lots that they're going to be striped.
Okay, so typically when we design, I mean, it's a good point with respect to how you design a new parking lot, but compact is usually designated if it's less than your typical stall size, which is 9 feet by 18. Your typical parking stall is 9 by 18. Your compact can get down to 7.5 to 8 feet wide by maybe even 15 feet of depth. If you have anything under 9 by 18, we would typically identify that as compact, but we wouldn't reserve a standard stall for compact. So if it's a standard stall, we would generally just make that available. Now, if we're designing a new parking area, your point's well taken. We need to be thinking about the layout being intuitive to drivers.
I'm just thinking that it could be difficult to enter, to park your car, and then there's a big monster car parking on the, say, on the left or right, and then it's difficult to see. And it could cause...
The other thing is, with parking enforcement now up and running, where we have people who are parking vehicles and they're extending into travel lanes, that's a hazard. And that's going to get addressed by parking enforcement.
It happened to me every day when I went to work. I had this huge car park on that corner, and I had to go around.
My truck got hit in October. I was driving down the Bay Road, and people came out of the road parking lot, and there was a big pickup sticking out.
Yeah.
They couldn't see, and boom, right into the side of my truck.
That's an issue, yeah.
Yeah, the whole side, look at my Silverado, the whole side is just screwed.
Harbor Freight's redoing the two sidewalks. They're at the corners, you know. And ODOT explained that they got sued, and they're having to redo all of the handicap access on corners. Is that going to be a regular turn? Because that's a really sharp off of 101 onto Northwest 6. It was already sharp with the...
I don't know that they're adjusting the curb line. Okay. I'd have to go back and look at the civil
lines. And they're not allowed parking there now that they've sealed up that...
So what happened with Harbor Freight?
This isn't unique to Harbor Freight. Anytime we have redevelopment in an area where we have old degraded sidewalks, we're going to require that they be upgraded with the redevelopment. And the ramps, ODOT lost an ADA lawsuit a few years ago, and so they are militant about making sure that any new ramp work is at spec. I mean, when we did the South Beach work down there, I think they probably tore out the ramps a couple times. You know, so it's something they're taking very, very seriously.
So my question is it was already a really sharp, and it's only a one lane.
Mm-hmm.
And now that they've sealed up that apron, are they going to be allowed to have street parking there?
On 6th?
Mm-hmm.
We shouldn't have that. We should have that strike no parking a reasonable distance back from the intersection, because we don't want vehicles parking too close to the intersection. And we have a specific spacing standard. I have to look at it in the code about how far back we do that. And as you know, the old non-conforming driveway there that was too close to the intersection is gone.
Hallelujah.
That was part of, again, you know.
Thank you, Newport City.
Part of the frontage improvement.
When is Harbor Freight scheduled to open?
January 30th.
January 30th, another
month.
Well,
they said 15th, but now we're hearing 30th, so who knows. Somewhere in January.
They're working diligently.
Oh, they're working.
They're really trying to push it to get it done. So the public improvements, we have them under an improvement agreement, so some of that work may still be in process.
We're really looking forward to them opening, because we're very sick and tired of hearing that generator run every day, all day long.
I've had a couple of complaints about that.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, they got a generator running?
Yeah, great big, huge monster hooked up directly to the outside of the building, and it faces our building, and, you know, we're all window on that side, and so it's just... Oh, so annoying.
I feel sorry for you.
It'll get over. It's fine. So, but we are really glad that driveway is going away. It was so awkward because you have two, you know, lanes of cars waiting for the light, and the trucks were, pickup trucks, you know, were trying to come out of that driveway, and it's what, 6-7 feet away from 101? I mean, it was just, oh, man, that was rough.
Well, I remember coming down. Yeah.
So it's a much better design. It'd be better for them and for the rest of us.
All right.
So the last item we had here was public comment. Jim, did you have anything else to say? Okay. I did include a back and forth Janelle had with Michelle Meese down on the Bayfront in the packet, so you could see that. I think, you know, there are some folks that just, they don't like this, period. And I think that's kind of the gist of Janelle's, you know, kind of trying to be very diplomatic about it, but
it will never change.
That's not going to change.
That
And then Robert had asked me about this, and I wanted to share this with you. We do have, as you know, we have vacancies on this particular committee. And so our game plan was to recruit to fill those vacancies once we get the Bayfront piece finished and begin to turn our attention over to Nye Beach, kind of take a breather and go that direction. For a couple of reasons. One, this was a big lift to get the Bayfront stuff in place. You guys have been through it the whole time. It's not really fair to recruit somebody in right when, you know, you're going to get some feedback coming in from the Bayfront. They don't have any context. Two, we also didn't want folks to sign up because they're fired up about a particular issue, and that's why they're signing up for the committee, not because they really want to be on the committee to deal with parking issues generally. And so our thought was ride this out kind of with who we have right now, and then add some additional and fill in some of those vacancies once we get this rollout wrapped up, which is coming up pretty quick.
I can't believe we're actually getting to the point that it's going to happen.
I know you've been working on this for how long, Gary?
Aaron and I, you've been on this for
years.
It's been a long run. Literally years.
Yes.
I think like 8 years now, something like that. Six, I don't know, it's been a long time.
Here, I've been working on parking issues generally since I arrived here, and we've been working on this probably since 2016.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's
around 2016.
Yeah, that's I think when I started on it.
Yeah, so we're like 7 years into it.
7 years into this. Can't believe we're actually...
It's happening.
It's actually going to happen. When we first started, it's kind of funny. When we first started this, we thought, oh, we'll have this done in like year and a half, couple of years, tops.
Yeah, it's finally done.
But when we started, we actually were looking at real meters and stuff, too.
Right.
In the very beginning.
Yeah.
Yeah, real meters.
Yeah, that technology's changed, too. So
yeah, I mean,
the
technology completely changed from the time we started this.
So,
you know,
and to our benefit, frankly.
Yeah.
So that worked out well. So I don't have anything else on the agenda. Anything else for the good of your order? Thanks for your time tonight. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Happy holidays, everybody.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Happy holidays.
So
thank you, Derek.
So